with our great, great God. Worship your name. Do we have time for that? We might get 10 seconds of it in. No, we won't have time for that.
I'm Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Matt Ullery weaves multiple global influences into the music of his Loom Sextet, and we'll hear a cinematic piece on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Springheel Jack, Adam Bayer, and CJ Boland. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Nora Mishnick reports for Columbia Green Media that the state police said July 29th that the couple who brandished a gun at protesters in Kinderhook on July 11th did not threaten anyone. The state police said the couple on Rothermel Lane would not be charged with second-degree menacing, which is intentionally placing or attempting to place another person in reasonable fear of physical injury or death by displaying a deadly weapon. Brandon Nelms, an organizer of the Black Lives Matter March July 11th, said he wanted charges filed. Quote, "They pulled a gun on a bunch of teenagers, and it is not fair," unquote. Greg LeBeau, a former Greene County public defender, explained the legal concept of menacing. Quote, "The classic example is someone pulling back their shirt to show a gun in their waistband," unquote, LeBeau said. Quote, "Is that menacing? Probably not. There has to be reasonable fear of physical injury. If someone takes a gun out and points it, that could create reasonable fear," unquote. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson witnessed the incident. "The husband yelled for his wife to get his gun, and she came out waving the gun at the crowd," unquote, he said. A.J. Hicks, public information officer for State Police Troop K, said the investigation is still open and that anyone with information should contact them. Read more about the story at HudsonValleys360.com. Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that a town hall-style meeting held July 30th by Catskill Central School District Superintendent Rennell Cook to discuss a proposed reopening plan was marred by some unruly and hateful comments. More than 100 people tuned into the conversation, which was held via Zoom. Cook presented the plan and then turned the floor over to the public for comments. Leah Chan attempted to ask the superintendent a question, but was interrupted by a male voice using the N-word. Cook immediately asked that the person be muted. Chan tried to speak again, but she was interrupted for a second time by an unidentified male, spewing more racial hatred and preventing Chan from being heard. After struggling to regain control of the meeting, according to Trafton, Cook brought the presentation and the meeting to a close. "The matter is now under investigation," Cook said the next day. Quote, "Several derogatory comments were made, and local law enforcement is investigating the matter," unquote, he said. Quote, "I thank the different agencies in advance for their due diligence regarding this matter," unquote. Catskill Police Department is the lead agency on the case. Lieutenant Ronald Frisello said, and is working with the State Police Computer Crimes Unit, the Greene County Sheriff's Office, and the Greene County District Attorney's Office. Police are working to trace the caller, and criminal charges are pending, Frisello said. The precise nature of the charges will be determined by the district attorney, he said. Cook has been a vocal advocate of the Black Lives Matter movement in the Catskill community. Quote, as a man of color, I think it's very important, unquote, he said. Cook said at Catskill's Black Lives Matter march held June 4th. Quote, I live this every day. Many of you live this every day. It's time. It's time we hold our government officials accountable, unquote, he said. Racial tensions in Catskill have surfaced significantly during the past month after a request from the Hudson-Catskill Housing Coalition to allow a Black Lives Matter mural on Main Street was mishandled by the village board. The five-member board ultimately denied the request, despite widespread support for the proposal by business owners and residents. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. The Columbia paper is reporting Columbia County is facing a projected loss of $13.2 to $20 million in revenue as a result of the pandemic-related economic shutdown, according to a July 16th press release from the Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Morrell. County Treasurer P.J. Keeler said the projections assessed, quote, various revenue streams from the county ordinarily experiences over the course of a year, including sales tax, state aid, loss of revenue from county departments, anticipated failure of property owners to pay their property taxes, and reimbursements from the state and federal governments, unquote. In May, Morrell issued a memo outlining the steps the county was taking. Those steps included requiring all county departments to cut their departments' budgets by 20%, a hiring freeze, and cancellation of all summer youth programs. The county also negotiated with UPSEU, its largest union, a deferral of certain contractual bonuses to be paid at a later date. All elected county officials were requested to return 10% of their salary for the six-month period from June through November, including members of the Board of Supervisors, the treasurer, sheriff, clerk, and the district attorney. The Board of Supervisors also passed a resolution for countywide emergency cost-cutting measures totaling $9.96 million. Among these reductions, 20% contractual equipment, road work, capital expenditures, and 20% from outside agencies, as well as a hiring freeze, a pause in the summer intern program, a 13-pay period, one-day furlough, the use of tax stabilization funds, and a voluntary full furlough plan. Read the press release at ColumbiaCountyNY.com. Mike Snyder is reporting for USA Today that the Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and other state and local officials are tracking the outbreak of Salmonella Newport tied to red, white, and yellow and sweet onions from Thompson International, a supplier headquartered in Bakersfield, California. So far, 396 illnesses and 59 hospitalizations, but no deaths have been reported. States with the most cases of Salmonella Newport include Oregon, Utah, California, Montana, and Michigan. There have been four cases reported in New York as of July 29th. Another 114 cases have been found in Canada. The FDA says Thompson International will recall all varieties of its onions, but the company has not yet issued plans for those recalls. Locally, Thompson International onions are sold at Dollar General and Target stores. Most of those who get sick from Salmonella will begin developing symptoms 12 to 72 hours after infection. Patients may develop diarrhea, fever, and stomach cramps. The illness, which is called salmonellosis, typically lasts 4 to 7 days and most recover without treatment. Read more about this story in USA Today and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday that there is a 40% chance of rain with thunderstorms possible after 11 a.m. Some of the storms could be severe. There should be a high of 81 on Sunday, low around 68 Sunday night with, again, a 40% chance of rain. On Monday, there's only a 20% chance of showers, mostly after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 82 and a low around 67. On Tuesday, there's an 80% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm, the high near 74 and a low around 64. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXE, 518-291-9492.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Valerie McCavany of Leeds, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Accra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a graduate of Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mishuda, and I'm 18, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm 6 years old. I'm Patia, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm from first grade in Hudson as well.
I'm Lena, and I go to school at MC Smith.
I'm Fahim. I'm 15, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. And we're usually joined by our friend AJ as well, who's not here today. So who wants to get started talking about something they've been reading lately or something they're excited to read or something related?
I can start.
Okay.
I started reading today as I was Refugee by Ellen Grad, and so far I love the novel. And so it's basically like about three people that their story plays in different time period and different region of the world. And Ellen Grad does a really good job showing like how their story is similar. Like they're all three of them are facing like violence and cruelty, inequality in their like homeland, their country, and how they're like forced to, you know, because in order to keep themselves safe or they're gonna get killed, to leave their country and search for like better life and equality and freedom. And like as I was reading the chapter, they change the people, like characters. So one chapter would be based on Ashley, who's I don't know if I'm saying the character's name right. She is a Cuban girl, and she is forced to leave her homeland because of communism and cruelty there, and also because of the starvation too. Because like, you know, Cuba used to have a lot of support, like, you know, Soviet Union used to like buy the sugar cane, like they used to give like 11 times more money to Cuba. But since like when Soviet Union failed, they, you know, Cuba doesn't have that support, and they don't have the money to switch the sugarcane factory to a food factory. And because Russia, like they used to get their gasoline from Russia, and because they don't have that support either, they don't have the gas to run the tractor. They're starving constantly, and like, you know, they have slaughtered all the farm animals they had, and then people are like, those people are going to the zoo animals and eating them, basically. And you know how she tells the story, how she's hiding her cat because she has a kitten and she doesn't want the neighbors to come and eat her kitten. So, and then there's a story about Mahmoud. He's a Syrian boy, and you know how he is forced to leave his homeland because of the violence and because of inequality between Shia and Sunni. And the story of Joseph, who is a Jewish boy, and he in Germany, like in, you know, his father escaped like from the concentration camp because Hitler's army took him, and you know how he came and he you know, like give you the second chance. And then now, like, so far I'm being, now the father came in, he looks like a skeleton, like he hasn't eaten for months. And like now, like they're running and they enter like the shed where they don't see any swastika or any uniform, and they're treated as equal. So I'm excited to see and eager to like know what happens next, but hopefully they're safe.
Sounds like a really interesting book. I like how it switches from characters and timelines and countries,
and I'm
but
sorry.
Like has a shared theme.
And I have something to tell you, like it's a book.
What's your book?
My book is about rainbows of snow. So for the beginning, starts like this. So it is like so cool.
What's it about?
Yeah. That secret powers.
And then how you got
it. And then how I got it.
You have superpowers?
Because I do.
Whoa. What is your superpower?
My reading, I can read people's mind and teleport and fly and be visible. And
what?
And be visible. That's true.
And invisible. She thinks she can be invisible.
Oh.
Yeah.
But only downstairs.
Can you read my mind right now?
Okay, so you have to think about something.
I am. I'm thinking.
You're thinking about a bicycle.
How did you know?
I don't know. I can find it.
Wow.
Tell her, how did you get your superpower?
Do you want to know how I got my superpowers? By eating vegetables and fruits.
Oh, I eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, but I have not developed any superpowers. You must have had the right combination.
Yeah.
What's your favorite fruit and your favorite vegetable?
Okay, so my favorite fruit is all the fruits and also vegetables.
Oh, okay. I guess it must be pretty easy to get you to eat your fruits and vegetables then.
No, it's not easy.
No.
I think the story that she's going to become a superhero if she eats them. Makes her cool. Eat.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my parents convinced me that tofu was tofu food and that as a ballerina it would be very good for my dancing skills. But it, and I actually love tofu now, but as a kid, at least the way that my mom prepared it that time, I remember being like, this is disgusting, it's not worth it, I don't care how much I want to be a ballerina, not eating that again. But now I love tofu. I'll eat it every day if I need to, but I don't need to. So how about Amelia, do you have a book to share with us?
I have several. I have several that kind of share a theme. I've got a big stack. One, I've got this. The Great Gatsby as a graphic novel.
Whee!
I'm so happy. It's really pretty. Everyone here, I think, knows that I love The Great Gatsby. And this was really cool. It has this really pretty, like, watercolor art, almost. It looks like it's been done in watercolor. And it's so pretty. It's, like, gorgeous. I haven't even really read it yet. I've just kind of flipped through it, admiring the art. And it's really pretty. And that got me thinking about, like, other classic novels. And when I was younger, I somehow managed to, like, gather up this big collection of classic novels rewritten as comics and manga. I have Pride and Prejudice, I have Emma, I have The Scarlet Letter, and I was gonna pull it out, but for some reason this particular copy was falling apart when I bought it, and I don't want to pull it out again in case, to keep it like from getting any more damage. And I also have Les Mis, and there's also the comic of The Handmaid's Tale, but I can't find it right now. I'm not sure where it went, but I just thought that was an interesting thing to share, that like apparently rewriting classics of comics is a very common thing.
Yeah, I haven't read many of them, but I remember reading, there was a comic adaptation of The Lottery, the short story by Shirley Jackson.
Oh.
And I read that after I read the short story. And then there's a couple recently that have been made based on Octavia Butler's books, which I love. And I'm curious about reading those, but I haven't tried them yet. And I saw there was a Handmaid's Tale, and I remember you talking about it on the radio show.
It was really, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
The comic is very pretty.
I'm curious for Les Mis how long it was, because that's a really big book.
It's not as thick as all the other ones. They're all pretty thick. And that one was about the same size. I would check, but like I said, it's falling apart for some reason. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I guess that one copy I bought was just cursed, because when I opened it, like, it was very obviously like giving away at the spine. I don't know what was wrong with it. And I like read it just long enough to finish it, and then I put it away and decided I'm not touching it again.
It's just gonna live on your shelf forever.
Yeah.
That's fun. Seems like a fun way to read some of those classic stories. either if you've already read them and want to reread it, or if you're not sure, if you're ready to dive in and just want to get a peek at the story.
Classic comics I have, I've only read the actual books for them, with The Great Gatsby and The Handmaid's Tale. I never read The Scarlet Letter, I've never read Emma, and I've never read Pride and Prejudice, but it was my favorite thing to read in this comic, and I really didn't want to like it, because it was very, it's a Jane Austen book, it was very Jane Austen, all about like, they're like, they remind me of rom-coms, like modern rom-coms, but if they were written then. And everything in me wanted to not like it, but I ended up like loving it despite how just romantic it was. I didn't want to like it. I didn't want to like it, but I actually ended up loving it.
Yeah, I think a lot of Jane Austen stories are sort of turned into rom-coms.
Yeah.
Both in American film and in some world cinema. I know I've seen some Bollywood films based on those novels.
I've seen Sense and Sensibility as a manga too, and I kept not buying it because I kept forgetting that I didn't have it. I was actually mistaking it for Emma because I thought that one was Sense and Sensibility, but it wasn't. And I never got through Emma because there's a bookmark here, and I don't remember the last time I picked this book up, but I know it was years ago, and I guess I got halfway through it and then stopped reading it, and now I need to start reading it again because I can't remember what's actually happening in the book. But so they're all under one like brand called Manga Classics. But there's obviously a different artist illustrating each book, which I think is cool.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yay. So, Lena, do you have anything you want to share today?
Yes. I'm very excited because we're getting the Urban Legends for 50 States. Yeah. I can't remember what the name is.
Hold on. I have the book. I know what the name of it is. I'm going to get it.
Amelia's very excited. Yay.
Also, I'm going to buy into my brother's book of Maximum Ride.
Ah.
I have a comic of Maximum Ride, too, and I've never read it. But it's the Scary States of America, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This book has been beat up. It's awful, but I've read it so much that it's just in such bad condition. But I loved it. I loved these books. Hold on, I'm going to try and find the story for New York. Can't remember what it was.
I'm very excited because it's actually kind of similar to one of my favorite books called Grimm's Fairy Tales. And one of my favorite stories in there is called Clever Hans. And the funny thing about it is that Clever Hans is actually not very clever, and he tries to follow his mother's advice, even though the advice was given at the wrong time, like too late.
Yay. That seems like a fun book. I wonder if there were certain states where there were tons of stories that they had to choose from, and then if there were any states where they had to really search hard to find one that was good. Like, I wonder what state has the most scary stories or legends.
Yeah.
My favorite,
I have no idea.
My favorite story in this book was the one from Montana about the cows.
What happens with the cows?
There's apparently a trend of like alien abduction among like cattle, where the cattle like disappear and then they return like with like weird injuries that couldn't have possibly done by anything human. And like it seemed like horrifically gory to me when I first read this book, but now it's kind of just but it's like, I still love the Montana story. It's my favorite one.
Oh.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, Lena, and have fun.
Yeah, I'm excited because me and my brother are going to read it.
Oh, that'll be fun to read it together. You can compare notes and favorites.
Yeah, but like the funny thing about it is that we're going to read it when I go to sleep, because like he reads me the Grimm's Fairy Tales, which are supposed to scare children well into behaving, so I'm pretty sure that won't scare me.
So it hasn't worked yet? You haven't started behaving?
Who told you that?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, Grimm's Fairy Tales are bizarre when you read the originals sometimes.
They're so strange.
There's one called Donkey Cabbages that I highly suggest.
It might be in the book because there are about, like, I'm pretty sure 100-something stories.
Mm-hmm, probably is.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let us know what your favorite is when it's all done.
I will.
Thank you. So is Fahim still there? And do you have a book to talk about?
Yeah. My book is called The Running Back, True Story from the Wheelchair to the NFL. It's by Leroy Collins. He's a former NFL player and currently a motivational speaker. The book is about a young Leroy Collins, like, growing up. And, like, this book basically started from how a U-Haul, like, him and his brother, so, like, in the beginning of the book, Leroy Collins and his brother, they were, like, playing around with everyone else, like, their friends, like, the parkway and everything. It was, like, in the middle of the road. And then, like, in the middle of the road, Leroy's brother goes in the middle of the road, and, like, there's, like, U-Haul truck, and, like, a driver was just, like, driving the U-Haul truck, like, very speed, like, over the speed limit, and then it just hits his brother, and his brother goes, like, kind of, like, flying and goes somewhere else, and then Leroy tries to save him, but then he's in the middle of the road, and the U-Haul truck doesn't stop, and then it just hits him, and, like, the front tire and the back tire, like, just runs over his head. I think it was chest. Yeah, his head is in his chest. So, like, severe, like, brain injury. So he had to be, like, in a wheelchair for, like I think months, for, like, and had to take, like, surgery in his brain, in his chest, like basically, like, his upper body. And then after that, he had to heal up. And then his dad had, like, very, like, problems in Hudson that he wanted to move to Florida. So they had to move from Hudson to Florida. And then, like, but, like, his dad had an addiction and, like, all these other social problems. So they couldn't stay in Florida. So Leroy Collins and his family, like, decided to move back to Hudson, except for his dad. His dad still stays in Florida. And then he and his journey for, like, the football team started. He started, like, for the JV team, and then moved up to, like, the varsity in eighth grade. And then from there on, like, his whole NFL story started. Like, I'm not gonna spoil too much. Like, but, and then, like, so just like, soon he got drafted. So, yeah, I mean, he didn't get drafted. He got into a free agency. But, yeah, cool.
Yeah, that sounds like I've heard that's a very inspirational story.
Yeah.
I haven't read it myself yet, but has been and thought it was very inspiring. Yeah. And that people should read it, especially since Leroy's from Hudson.
Yeah. Should I say, like, the back of the book, like, the motivational quote from him?
Sure.
We are going to face many challenges in life. We are going to want to give up. Life is going to take us in many different directions. Focus on your dream and your vision, regardless of what stands in your way or what direction you might be dragged or put. Your drive and your fate will put you back on course in the direction of your destiny. My life has taken many turns. I was in situations where I never thought I'd But I set a goal and discovered the power of dreaming. And those dreams spoke to me. My dreams told me to get up and walk. My dreams told me to run fast. My dreams told me to give it a try. My dreams told me not to settle. So overcome most of life's struggles and setbacks. Set a goal. Start listening to your dreams and never give up. So basically talks about, like, how his religion, like Christianity, affected him into, like, believing that he doesn't have to give up and stuff. Like, how religion affected him. And, like, plays running back. And basically, like, has to move his legs and stuff. Like, he has to make sure that he's, like, on point and he knows what to do in his position.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. I also have a nonfiction book to share. I recently, for the Hudson Area Library Nonfiction Book Club, read The Hidden Life of Trees, What They Feel, How They Communicate, Discoveries from a Secret World by Peter Wohlleben. And I think this book would be appropriate for teens. And I think some tweens would like it too. But I'll read the description for it. It says, "Are trees social beings? Forester and author Peter Wohlleben convincingly makes the case that yes, the forest is a social network. He draws on groundbreaking scientific discoveries to describe how trees are like human families. Tree parents live together with their children, communicate with them, support them as they grow, share nutrients with those who are sick or struggling, and even warn each other of impending dangers. Wohlleben also shares his deep love of woods and forests, explaining the amazing processes of life, death, and regeneration he has observed in his woodland. After you have read Wohlleben's book, a walk in the woods will never be the same again." It's just sort of a fascinating book about trees, which I think we don't often think about too much. They're just kind of there. Like, you go in the woods and they are beautiful, and maybe you're like, wow, that's a big tree, or wow, that tree's growing in an interesting way. But there's some fascinating stories and sort of anecdotes in here. Also, there's an illustrated version. So this version has, like, little sort of line drawings at the start of each chapter that are really pretty. There's also an illustrated edition, which is not the same text exactly, but has really beautiful photographs in it. And then there's also a kid's version called Can You Hear the Trees Talking? Discovering the Hidden Life of the Forest, which sounds really fun. And, you know, it's geared towards kids. So that could be interesting to some of our listeners. Let's see some of the questions he writes in the description. Did you know that trees have parents and tree grandparents with wrinkles? That tree kids go to school for hundreds of years? That there is such a thing as the forest internet? And that trees make us healthy and strong? Sometimes even trees get sick, but we can help heal them. Can You Hear the Trees Talking shares the mysteries and magic of the forest in language kids will love and understand. And it's got like quizzes and photographs and hands-on activities in the kids' version. But some of the ones that stood out to me in my memory, there's one about, I think it's acacia trees in Africa. Their leaves would be eaten by giraffes. And if they were eaten too much, then the tree would die. And so the tree's able to tell that it's at risk and starts releasing toxins that make the giraffe not want to eat it anymore. And then it somehow communicates to other trees nearby to start releasing the toxin as well. So then the giraffe has to go farther away to find a tree to eat. So they have these interesting ways of communicating with each other. Some of them involve fungi. And there's also a story that I had heard a small version of before around wolves in Yellowstone National Park, where when the wolves came back to Yellowstone and they were reintroduced into the area, it helps the ecosystem sort of thrive and get back to normal. But so one of the ways it did that was the wolves were the predator for elk. But when the wolves were gone, the elk went wild and ate all these trees. And so then there weren't trees growing and the beavers had no trees to have fun with and dam up the area. So once the wolves came back, then the elk were less abundant in the area or had to spread out more for their food. And so then the tree growth came back and then the beavers came back. And so you can see how this would go on and how there's a chain and how everything's connected. I found it very interesting. I'm curious to check out the kids' version and the illustrated version because I do love some pictures. And I think I was listening to this on audio and the narrator had a British accent and it reminded me of the Attenborough narration on Planet Earth and other nature series. And so it made me want to have these visuals just by having that voice on there. So I'm hoping to find some more visual versions of this information to explore. But yeah, so that was my most recent read, aside from some picture books.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really good book, and it's about trees, because like I haven't really read any book that's about trees, and it's like those like it has the vibe that the environment is friendly.
He's an interesting guy too, because he worked for over 20 years in the Forestry Commission in Germany, and then he left that industry to sort of put what he had learned about trees into practice. So now instead of cutting down trees using large machines and having to constantly rebuild the forest to make money off of the land, now what he does is he sells sort of trees that people can use as a place where they will leave the ashes of their loved ones when their loved ones pass away and have a place to go visit in the woods. And so he preserves the trees while also, you know, preserving space for people to enjoy nature and be with their loved ones and the memories of their loved ones. So it's an interesting change in use of forest. So we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time and fun experiences, and that everyone stays cool in the summer heat. And yeah, have a good week. Happy reading.
Into the void of space, we shine a light, a flickering force, moving at eternal pace. On an infinite voyage, explore the magic. We are never too old for new worlds to align. Life is not a race, but a moment to embrace the journey. To see the brighter things about the way to who we are.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
So the music you hear in the background is music from the Black Lives Matter event for black women that's taking place at 21 Delaware Avenue in the park, right near the Boys Club. Lots of folks, lots of people, lots of music. So this is Livonia Mallory for another episode of Reclaiming History. For my listeners, tell them the name of your organization, your names, and how they can reach your org.
So my name is Bria. The organization is Elevate 518. And you can reach us through email, which is elevate518newyork@gmail.com. And the New York is NY.
And your name?
Hi, my name is Camille Dobbs, and I'm a part of Elevate's research and social media committee.
First, I've got to say, listen, I love the T-shirts, you know, the multi-hued hands that you have on your T-shirts for, black women. It's beautiful. How did you come up with that?
Basically, you wanted to emphasize on the different color of black women, because some black women are darker, some are lighter. But just because you're lighter or darker, that doesn't take away how much you matter as a black woman. So we basically wanted to emphasize on, you know, the black women and let other black women know that we are here as a support group, as a solution group, and all of that.
Our slogan is all about amplifying the voices of, you know, black women and just making sure that their stories are told, whether that's from us or the community.
So, you know, my colleague there was messing with me, talking about I'm old school, I'm an old head and all that. And that's true. You know, I'm 60 years old and I got no problem with it. Right. I've been around long enough to know. Right. So when I see young sisters like yourselves really getting it done, it just inspires me. It says, listen, I can pass the torch.
Yep. Absolutely.
I can sit down, rock in my chair. If you need somebody to come out and throw up the power symbol, I'm there. But I ain't got to fight as hard because you ladies are on the battlefield.
Right.
Tell me, what's the number one thing you're trying to achieve? Number one thing you've got to achieve, let's say, in the next 60 days. What's the number one thing you gotta see happen?
Definitely awareness of the oppression that black women go through, and also letting the black women know that there is some type of outlet that you can come out to reach. And let people know that we're here for solutions and to come up with solutions, and definitely let people know what we're doing right now.
So I definitely want to connect with Sam Fine and Carolyn McLaughlin. I feel like, you know, we should be able to have these sit down and these conversations with you guys as a community, as a black community. You should be involved in these topics because they concern you. Your citizens are black and brown.
Right. Now, the young sisters at the radio station hit me to a word. It's called misogynoir, which is the hatred of black women. And I had the woman, the professor who developed the term on my show talking about it. You know, how real is this hatred of black women in American society?
It runs really deep. Just even when you look back to history, you know, if other marches and protests and the media doesn't want to cover like our stories, it's okay. We'll do that, you know? And we have media outlets that are led by black and brown women and men that are trying to do that work. So, you know, we just want to keep telling those stories and having accountability. So I want the men to have accountability and, you know, share their platform and their space and let other black women, you know, come up and do that work as well.
Tell my listeners, what is the one thing you're trying to accomplish 60 days from today?
Definitely one of the things that we're trying to accomplish is awareness of mental health. In October, we're definitely going to be going into like the domestic violence. So we want to be able to bring awareness to mental health and partner with different people who have already did it, so we don't reinvent the wheel, but we just make it a little smoother.
So if there's some women, black women, listening to the segment right now, what's the one thing that they can do to help you fulfill your mission over, let's say, the next 60 days?
definitely visit our Facebook page or Instagram, which is Elevate518, and like our page so you're aware of what's going on and you can come out and support when we have events for you. And definitely donate as well, because at most organizations, nothing is free. And if we want a real change and we want different for our kids, our black and brown kids, we need money. So definitely those are two things. Like our page, share our post, and let other people be aware of what's going on, what we're doing.
So what if it's an old head like me? You know, old folks don't like Facebook. Right. Let's just be honest. We don't understand it. We don't know how to maneuver through it. How does a person like me, who's like over 50, how do we connect? Because we're not going to connect through Facebook.
And you can reach us through email, which is elevate518newyork@gmail.com. And the New York is NY. Every Thursday, we meet at the Boys and Girls Club at 6, from 6 to 8. So you can definitely stop by, say, hey, this is my number. What can I add or what can I do for you? Whether it's just sharing flyers or giving us a word of advice. A lot of people forget, like, we still need the mentors and the advice, because we need to know what you guys did that didn't work. And we also need to know what you guys did that did work. So definitely mentoring and being a part of that is super, super important.
Tell my listeners your full name and your title in the organization.
So my name is Bria Bodie, and I'm a part of the executive committee, but also part of research and fundraising.
And your title within the org?
My name is Camille Dobbs. I am a part of Elevate's research committee and the social media committee.
Thank you for participating in another interview. This is Lavonia Mallory with Reclaiming History, airing on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is your president from the bathroom on Air Force One, taking a strong number two because I just had a tremendous number three from McDonald's. But I wanted to reach out to our great MAGA people to let you know that we're banning TikTok, okay? We're banning TikTok so quickly. You know, just like the China flu, okay? The Kung flu, the flujitsu, we're stopping it so quickly because TikTok is a China app. It's a China app. And we got to stop it before it, you know, ruins America. So we're banning it. We're banning Jason Derulo as well. We're having people look into him. And sorry, but no more special effects, no more lip syncs, no more fancy dances, and no more, you know, videos of moms from Florida with big breasts. Well, we'll keep some of them. But TikTok is done. So let's all go to Friendster and we'll see what happens.
Evening heat domes the weeds. A song sparrow sings, pauses, sings. Pauses, sings. The rhythmic gap filled with slanted light. The lappings of waves on the old cement boat launch. The patient sound of the train not coming. Deer startle and scatter in the scrub. Their coats a comical, conspicuous red. They're not signs of encroaching nature. Just survivors. In the park by the filled-in dump, Bangladeshi boys play cricket. The leap into immaterial is accomplished easily by some. Melville looked at the Pacific and saw Elysian fields sweeping over souls of sailors. Summer. A farm. Mom and Dad. I don't even try to scale that chain link fence. There's no rubble, no foundation. If I stare at it too long, the back of my hand will dissolve.
That was Jaded Azarudis, which is Columbia County based poet Karen Schomer, with bassist Mike Watt, who used to play with the Minutemen and Firehose, and it was released in 2020.
half of the time I think twice to myself. Am I having the time of my life? Am I too much for you and hardly anyone to me? Am I only here half of the time? I'm half off today, can you turn me all on? Do you have a half life of your own? And if you say it's true, I do. Do you think that maybe we could make one out of two? Well, let me check back with the mirror. I'll try and pull myself together. I must say I feel like I'm coming undone. Will two halves make a door? Will we fall through the floor? Or take away one and get the lonesome? The moon is half empty, oh, the sun is too bright. How do you stand all the light? We're all overdone, having so much sun. They've hidden the night from us. Are you half off today? Can I turn you all on? Do you have a half life of your very own? You say it's true, I do. Do you think that maybe we could make one out of two? Would it ever do?
That was Columbia County musician Elvis Perkins with his 2020 song, The Half-Life. Former Columbia County resident C. Lavender collaborates with the band Matmos and also with Yola Tenga on this track called LOL Lavender River Keres, a 2020 release. Thank you.
Trouble on my mind, refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.